Now let's have a look at, the book of Amos. Now let's have a look at Hosea, the book of Hosea and his message here. These are the countdown prophets for this time. The book of Hosea, he is the prophet of God's unfailing love, the prophet of a broken marriage and a broken home, teaching us of the unfaithful Israel forgiven and restored forever. Hosea is one long, impassioned monologue broken by sobs, said one commentator. It says the prophet with a tear in his eye and a sob in his voice. Amos was outraged against injustices, while Hosea was crushed by unfaithfulness. The agony, brothers and sisters, of a partner in marriage being unfaithful. How it crushes people and destroys families. And that happened to God, you know. God was married to Israel. God's married to Israel. And Hosea acts that out. God said, I want you to go and take a woman. This woman will end up being a prostitute. And she will have children, perhaps children by Hosea. And she will go off and be unfaithful. And she will go to the dregs of society. And she will put herself up for sale in the slave market. But you will go along and buy her. And you will bring her back. And you will restrain her. And you will elevate her to what she was before. You've read all of that in Hosea. And your family, Hosea, will be a picture of Israel and me. And you see that, if you turn the page, please, we have a summary to that. Page 18, his general message. Israel was privileged to be joined to the Lord in close marital relationship, covenantal love and responsibility. This is broken by going after other lovers, other gods. She becomes an estranged wife, but unfailing love prevails and follows and wins her back, restoring her in the latter days for a mission of worldwide blessing. See Ezekiel chapters 16 and 20 for a full discussion, a description of this gracious act of God. Please read those two long chapters of how God went after Israel and loved her, and how she's been unfaithful, and how he's going to restore her and meet her. So great will be the restoration that Hosea actually says that when God approaches the nation of Israel, the Jewish people in the end time, he's actually going to call it a betrothal, as though there was never any problems again, any problems in the past, but taking her like a pure virgin again. That is remarkable. Such is the restoration of God. Of course, he does that for us, doesn't he? One of the greatest things under the new covenant is, according to Romans 5, that God justifies the ungodly. God declares right the ungodly because of what Jesus has done for them and imputes to them his righteousness and restores them to a very high position out of the dunghill amongst princes, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, out of the dregs of society and sin, and seated with him on his throne, raised together with Christ and seated with him. Let's wake up, brothers and sisters, of our great privilege that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might pat ourselves on the back because we went to a meeting and finally responded to the Lord. We've got to remember who we are. The Apostle Paul, as he was facing death, said, I am the chiefest of sinners. By saying that, he elevated his Savior. Yes. Let's do the third point. Time has gone. The one invasion, the actual invasion that we have here in our notes. 722 BC, the Syrian captivity. In our notes, we have the deportation to Assyria and beyond in 2 Kings 17, which reads 2 Kings 17 and verses 13 and 23, which we have just read, but I'll read them again. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies, etc., etc. That is the Sinaitic covenant and the land covenant that we have there in Exodus and Deuteronomy. So in 2 Kings 17:23, we find the Lord removed Israel, the northern kingdom, as he had said, by all his servants the prophets, verse 23, Israel was carried away. Verse 24, then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cuthah, Arva, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possessions of Samaria and dwelt in their cities. And that was the way of foreign powers demoralizing a nation. Take the people out, import foreigners, and that demoralizes the nation. Hence, the origin of the Samaritans we have in the Gospels. They're a mixed race. Incidentally, in Isaiah chapter 10, we have Isaiah. Remember Isaiah down here? He's a contemporary of all of this, you see. He's down in Judah. We have Isaiah saying something about this. Would you like to turn to it, please? And then I must wrap this up. Isaiah chapter 10. See the value of understanding the world of the kings and the prophets and using such as this. Of course, this is a very simple one that I've designed up. But in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5, we read this. Isaiah 10:5. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, that is the northern kingdom, and against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, take the prey, and to tread down like the mire of the streets. You see there that Isaiah is saying, it's coming, it's coming. The Assyrians are coming in judgment. But praise the Lord, as we read Amos and Hosea, we have wonderful promises of restoration and recovery under the Lord when he comes back. So we've had a look at two nations, two crises, and one invasion, and that's the end. The next after lunch will be, the one after lunch will be the southern kingdom and King David's dynasty and God's promises of and his covenant.